Thank you. It is a real blessing and a joy and an honor to be with you once again. I never get tired of saying it. I thank the Lord for having mercy upon me and for saving my soul, giving me eternal life. I didn't know what living really was until I got saved, until I got a good dose of salvation in my soul. I mean, I was perfected on the inside when I called out to Him. All it took was me being open and honest with myself after I heard the Word of God. The problem is today is not many people are really getting preached to. But I'm thankful that I was in a church where the man of God stood and really preached the gospel and told me how to be saved and born again. And this world is lacking that today. There's too many playing churches and not enough real ones that are really trying to preach the gospel to people and really trying to win the lost. Most churches today that you go in there and the pastor, the so-called minister, tells you how good you are and how you're not so bad and how if you just give a little more, you'll be blessed. And if you'll do this and do that and you take up this position, then God's going to bless you. And I'm thankful that God does bless us, but that He's not in all of that. God wants people to be saved. He wants people to repent and come to Him and serve Him and not serve themselves. I served myself before I got saved. If you really get down to it, that's what this world is doing today. They're serving their flesh. They're serving the pleasures that they are partaking of. And that's not going to satisfy them. I've lived that way before. I lived that way up until the age of 23, serving my flesh, doing what I wanted to do. You see, the devil has a way of puffing up your mind and telling you that you're all right, that you got plenty of time. Why don't you wait until you get about 40 or 50 or even longer than that? Just keep on waiting to get saved. You don't need God right now. You can come back to Him later. Why don't you have a little fun? Because if you get saved, God's not going to let you have any fun. That's what the devil tells you. I know those lies. That's what he told me. He said, if you get saved, then you're not going to be able to have fun. You see, he made the Christian life look like it wasn't fun. That's what the devil does. That's the last thing he wants you to do is serve God, because he's the one that's doomed. He's destined for hell. He knows where he's going. Hell was created for the devil and all those angels that he deceived in the beginning of time. That's what hell was created for. Hell's not for you. But all the unsaved dead and all the people that don't believe in God, and not just in Him, but those that don't believe on Him with all their heart, they're going to hell too. And it's not because it's God's fault. It'll be your fault if you don't get into heaven. If you've heard the Word of God, and somebody's preached to you before, and somebody's prayed over you, then you have no excuse, absolutely no excuse, not to be saved and born again. Because God keeps dealing with you. God keeps speaking to you. If you've ever been preached to one time, that word will never leave you. It'll always be in your heart, speaking to you and convicting you. I can speak from experience. That's exactly how it was for me. When I really heard the Word of God, I was around 16 years old, and the Word of God got in my heart, and it dealt with me, but yet I didn't believe it. I didn't take heed to it, but the thing I did, I ran from it, and I ran for a long time, ran for 7 years, running in sin and knowing what I needed to do, knowing how to be saved and born again, knowing that if I got saved, I'd have peace and joy and contentment and happiness on the inside, but yet I still ran from it. Because the devil's strong. He paints a pretty picture. He tells you that you have plenty of time. He tells you that you're young. That's what he told me. He said, you're young. Why don't you wait a little while? Because if you get saved now, all your friends are going to make fun of you for being a Christian. You won't be able to go to school anymore and live it up with your friends. They're going to think you're crazy. They're going to think you're a fanatic. And they're going to think you're a loser. And you see, that's the devil's lies. He'll tell the young person that. And the old people, he'll tell you that you've made it this far without God, that you don't need Him. You're all right. You go to church. You've been to church all your life. You have a position in the church. You've been baptized before. You were christened as a baby. He'll tell you anything in the world and then some. I mean, the devil has a back pocket full of lies. He doesn't have a shortage of lies. He knows how to get to you. He knows how to work on you. He knows exactly how to deceive you. He's been working at this a long time. He's been working on mankind ever since the beginning of time. Thousands and thousands of years and billions upon billions and billions of people he's had chances to work on and to lie to and to deceive. And he's done a stand-up job, if you please. And I hate that he does, but I'm thankful there is a better way out. There is a way out from the web of the lies of the devil. There's a way you can get power over him And the only way to do it is to be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And the only way you can be justified is to come to Jesus just like you are and pour out your heart before Him and ask Him to have mercy upon you. And when you really get saved, He washes you in His blood. You're saved by His marvelous grace. And nothing can ever separate you from His love. The Bible names everything. He says there's no principality, there's no power, there's nothing in heaven, there's nothing in earth, and there's nothing under the earth that will ever separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. Because of what Christ Jesus has done for you, the love that He showed you personally, it's not just a figment of my imagination. This is not just a fairy tale. This is a personal salvation. This is something that you need. This is just not something that you can choose to have. I'm talking about this is something that you must have. You must be born again if you got plans of making it into heaven. And if you don't believe, that's your prerogative too. That is your choice. But I'll tell you, you're making a mistake, because 3 seconds after you die, you're going to wake up in hell and you're going to call out to God. But guess what? It's going to be too late. He's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you, and you're going to be ashamed, and you're going to be burning forever and ever and ever. You know that rich man, if you've ever been preached to before, and you've heard the word of God, there's a rich man that died, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments in the flame, and he called for Lazarus, that poor beggar, that witness that God sent to him, sent to his gate while he was on earth. He sent Lazarus there, and he was laid there at his gate. And that rich man just stepped over him every single day and passed him by every single day. And that's what the Word of God is doing today. People are just passing it right by. They overstep the Word of God. They say, not right now, Lord. I don't need that right now. I'm living it up. I'm enjoying myself. I've made a name for myself in this life, Lord. I don't need you right now. Let's just wait a little bit later. But you see, that rich man had those same thoughts. And he said, I'll come to God later. He said, I'm rich. I got everything at my disposal. I have all the money I can think of. I have all of the power, all the things that I've ever wanted in life. I have them. But yet that rich man was blinded by the god of this world. He didn't realize that those riches and everything that he had were going to go up in smoke. And yet he waited too late. And when he finally opened up his eyes, he lifted his eyes up in hell, and it was too late. He was asking Father Abraham there for mercy. He said, send Lazarus with a drop of water to cool my tongue. I'm tormented in this flame. You see, he was tormented not only physically in a body, but he's tormented mentally. He remembered Lazarus, that poor beggar laid at his gate. But it was too late to remember him. It was too late. He said, go ahead and send Lazarus back to warn my brothers not to come here. But yet Abraham said, that's not happening. There's a great gulf fixed. It doesn't matter if he was to raise from the dead and go back and witness to your brethren. If they don't hear the word of God that I've already given since the beginning of time, then they'll never make it in. And that's what it is today. You don't need some miracle to get saved. You don't need some miracle to happen to make you believe in God. God is very nigh. Just take a look around you. Look at the body that you have. Look at the mind that you have. All the wonderful things of this life that we have, they all come from God. All the good things and all perfect things come from God and come from Him. You see, He blesses everybody, and that's where people get deceived. He causes it to rain upon the just and the unjust. Just because you're not being struck down with a bolt of lightning, so to speak, doesn't mean you're living on Hallelujah Boulevard. It doesn't mean you're doing what you're supposed to do. It doesn't even mean you're saved. God blesses us because He loves His creation. But you see, you must come to Him willingly. If you want to be in heaven with Him, He's giving you a choice. He's inviting you. It's an invitation that goes out. And just like you do when you're invited to a gathering, you have to RSVP. You have to respond and say, I'm coming. You see, and that's what you need to do. He's sending out His invitation. And the invitation goes out when somebody preaches Christ to you. And that's what I'm preaching to you today. He paid an awful price for you personally. Not just a figment of my imagination. Not just a fairy tale. Not just a story. This is a reality. This is something that happened. This is something that truly happened. And you ask me how, I'll tell you. It's because He lives within my heart. He gives witness on the inside. His Holy Spirit bears witness to His Son. He said, when I leave, I'm going to send back the Comforter that's going to guide you, and He's going to tell you all truth. He's going to remind you of what I told you. And that's what He does. You see, when Christ died on the cross, He paid it all. He paid the price for sin. There was a sin penalty in the beginning. When Adam and Eve fell to sin, There was a curse pronounced upon mankind. And you see, that curse was death. And death is coming for you. You may be in your early 20s. You may be in your 30s, 40s, or 50s, or even more. But death is coming. Death is sure. It may not come right away, but it is coming, and you must be ready to die. I remember how I felt before I got saved. The closer I got to my salvation, around the age of 23 when I got saved, the more closer it got, the more I felt like I was going to die. You see, the fear of God was in me. I was afraid of death because I knew where I was heading. I knew my destination. I was on my way to hell. Somebody preached to me, if you don't get saved, if you don't repent and turn from your ways and turn to God and ask Him to save you, then you'll die in your sin and go to hell. That's what the man of God told me. And I believe it. It shook me down to the foundation of my soul. It convicted me. That's what people need today in these churches. I would to God people would really stand in the gap and make up the hedge and tell them that there's a hell to shun and heaven to gain. You see, you don't want to go to hell. Hell is a real place. It's not some cupcake fairy tale. It's a real place. It's a place of torment. It's a place that's of eternal fire and damnation. And the worm of remembrance will never die. You see, you'll remember all those times and all those wicked things that you did. But you won't enjoy the pleasure like you did on this earth. It'll just be torment. It'll be anguish. It'll be pain. And it'll never cease to exist. You don't just burn up to a crisp if you go to hell. You're going to be there for eternity. Forever and ever and ever. And there'll be no rest, day nor night. But if you get saved and born again, if you really get a dose of salvation, you'll go to heaven forever and ever and ever. With all the splendor and all the wonderful glories. And best of all, you'll see Christ Jesus, the one that saved you, the one that bought you. With His own blood, the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without spot, the Lamb without blemish. He was fully ordained before the foundation of the world. You see, He got into a covenant with God before this world was created. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew mankind was going to fall. He knew mankind was weak. And He knew how Lucifer, Satan, would deceive mankind. And He's still doing it today. And that's why He offered His only begotten Son to pay that sacrifice, to be the one that can conquer death, hell, and the grave, could conquer the devil, and I'm thankful for that. That's why Jesus came, to conquer all those things and to give mankind, God's highest creation, a chance to come back to God, to be reconciled back to Him through the blood of His cross. And I'm thankful that I've been reconciled back to Him when I poured out my heart to Him and asked Him to save me. It was a simple prayer. All I said was, Lord, have mercy upon me. Help me, Lord. He knew what I was trying to say. He don't need a flowery sermon. He don't need a flowery prayer. Be honest, be open, come to Him like you are and say, Lord, have mercy upon me and save me. And if you want it above everything else, above everything that you have, above all things, He'll save you. And it'll be just so wonderful and precious. Come to Him like you are. I see my time is gone. Pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.